Welcome back to the Cheryl Reeve Show. There is one game in the books. One of the stars has returned from overseas. Well, both the stars have returned from overseas. One has already played a game. Things are rolling along here. A lot of interesting stuff to get to here with Cheryl Reeve as part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Follow us on Twitter, TalkNorth Pod. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thanks to our sponsors, Rudy Luther Toyota, Successful Marketing Group, and Cara Quinn, your local realtor. So, Cheryl, I don't know where to start, so I'll let you pick. Game one, getting feedback into town, McBride, you know, getting back in time to play game one, being in New York, the New York area to play the Liberty. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind.
Yeah.
Might as well start with game one.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously McBride's availability for game one worked out well for us. And if you follow the game, you know that she pretty much carried us offensively in the first half. And really defensively, it's just kind of incredible. It was as if she was in our practices going through the game plan with us. You know, all we did do, I always say this about the veteran players that play overseas and they play on different teams. All you have to do is tell them how you want to play something, and they say, okay, got it, and they just go do it. And so we were able to, you know, kind of share the game plan on Friday, and she just went out there and just played, and, you know, it's as if she was in training camp with us. So we needed every bit of what she did, and, you know, kind of helped us, I guess, survive the first half not being even worse than what it was offensively. So she did a hell of a job, I thought, on Taurasi. I thought overall, up until the last shot, we actually played well versus Taurasi. You know, sort of limited touches, or when she had it, made it difficult. But she's also, you know, somebody that moves the ball, and we exert a lot of energy, putting players towards Taurasi to make sure she didn't get off. And unfortunately, that meant some of the others, you know, had easier opportunities, especially in the paint. So we have a long way to go. I hope that, you know, since Friday's game, we've had a couple practices. I hope that we have a greater understanding that, or have a greater commitment to our identity and the things we like to get done defensively. And that was pretty glaring. And transition defense was really difficult to watch. We've just got to get better. We've been talking about it since day one of training camp. All the teams want to run, and we're aware of it. And, you know, we just didn't get it done. And it's an effort area. This is not that difficult. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's unfortunate how a ball might land in terms of the rebound and where we got position, but that was not the reason why they had 17 fast break points. So, and 46 points in the paint, you know, that just made it much more difficult for her. All that being said, we had a chance to win the game. You know, we were an execution set away from, you know, maybe getting it to a 3-point lead with under 10 seconds, or maybe four if we hit a three. But we didn't get that done, and you know, we left the, you know, it's like giving Tom Brady the ball back with a little bit of time, or someone like an Aaron Rodgers. So it Taurasi made us pay. At the most key time, she hit a shot.
Yeah, that was a tough shot too. Good Lord. And anything you want to say about the decision that left enough time on the clock that took time so much time off that you didn't really have a chance at a good second shot, good last shot?
Yeah, I didn't quite understand the way that they timed it. I had a chance to see it, and when the breath into the whistle led to the stoppage of play at 6.8 seconds, you could go back and you could watch, and Griner has the ball in her hands at 6.8 off of the turnover, and as she's letting it go and the ball's in the air and it's still at 6.8 because obviously it takes a full second. So they're saying somehow from the time just after leaving Griner's hands to it gets Taurasi's hands and she dribbles up the court, that it took, 5.8, 5.9 seconds, whatever it was. And it just simply did not. I clocked at it closer to 4 seconds and honestly thought that we were going to have about 3 seconds left. If it was 2.8, I'd understand that, but more than 1.1. And so I just didn't quite understand what they were seeing. And, I have been asked to join a call from the supervisor of officials to, you know, kind of hear about the ending of that game. So it doesn't change anything. It's not the reason why we lost. I said I prefer to talk about the illegal screens that took place that were uncalled. You know, we had all of them were against us, none of them against Phoenix. And we have a minimum of three that were very clear, textbook, moving screens that were set that went uncalled. We have a couple situations that we felt like were perfectly legal. So it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. Two good teams. I thought the Phoenix played great. I expected nothing less than that. And I thought that in terms of where we were, you know, it was, you know, in terms of coming out of the gates and not really being a well-oiled machine as we're accustomed to being, you know, we had our work cut out for us to get out of there with a win, and we almost did. So that was encouraging. But, you know, we're still forming our identity. You know, we've talked about that. This is not a place we're accustomed to being. But you know, here we are. And you know, the beginning of our season, you know, we're going to have to play well to win games. And while we're trying to find our identity, we just have to make sure that, you know, if, you know, we can't get out-efforted because we can still win the game while you're working through the kinks of getting to know each other offensively. Defense is effort. Doesn't matter who you're playing with. That's all about effort. Rebounding is effort. Transition D is effort. And so as long as we take care of those effort areas, we should be able to get through those bumps in the road in terms of, you know, the cohesion that it takes when you're playing offensively.
And you mentioned McBride. Of course, I know she's a good player and I've seen her play before. I was reminded just how quickly she can get off her shot.
Yeah, it's nice to have. You know, we talked about it when we signed her that we just haven't had this element, you know, in quite some time. And you'll see she'll be able to do it in a variety of ways. And you know, shots fell for her against Phoenix. And, you know, she's looked really good in practice. You know, the 2 days that we had, she has a maturity about her. She has a pace about her that's been revealing, illuminating. To, you know, what maybe some things we've been asking for from a few other players. And now we have an example. And so that when you have that, it sort of raises the rest of the group. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that it's just, you know, we know how important the signing was. And you know, I'm just glad that she wanted to be here as quickly as she did. And we were able to get it done. And she put us in position to win the game.
Listeners of this show might be interested. I had Lindsey Whalen on as a guest on my show, Blocked and Muted, with Jim Suhan last week. It was a good conversation. She even took time out of her vacation to do it, which doesn't surprise me, but I appreciate it. Thank you, Lindsey. And that's a fun. I hope that you enjoy listening to that show. We've also added Lavelle Neal to our baseball show with Roy Smalley. Continue to grow the network. And thanks to Cheryl for all of her work on this network. How soon can Fee be back?
Yeah, Fee won't be in the same fortunate situation that Kayla was in, and that the health and safety protocols for her are longer than what the onboarding process was for Kayla. So Fee will have to undergo six consecutive negative tests before she can participate fully with our team. So, you know, so whatever, you know, whatever day she got here, I don't even know. I just focus on what I have. I know I don't have Fee. So we're here in Brooklyn and I don't have Fee. We won't have her until after the first Seattle game, until after the whatever date that ends up being the 21st, 22nd, somewhere in there. And then we have some time to incorporate her in before we go out to play Seattle a second time.
What's it like in Brooklyn? Have you been outside the hotel? You know, it's really like I went to Target today and there were actually people not wearing masks and allowed to not wear a mask. What's it like in your travels here?
Well, I haven't been. We were figuring this out. Planette Pearson played for us in 2017, and that was the last time that we've actually played in the city. And we were talking about how much we've missed, you know, this and kind of being here. And now I've never been over here to Barclays or here in Brooklyn. After the 2017 season, the Liberty moved out to Westchester in 2018 and 2019, and then we were in the bubble. So it's good to be back. I did walk the street a little bit. I don't know if it's because of the time of day, you know, where we were sort of the end of the day here business wise. But a lot of things seemed not necessarily open and lots of mask wearing outside. So let alone inside. So I think New York is maybe still in a place of, you know, managing the COVID. And I haven't paid a lot of attention to it, honestly. I just know that what I saw when I was on the street, and we did take a full airplane from Minnie to LaGuardia. So that was sort of our, you know, one of our recent experiences of you know, we're back at it. The airports are busy and you know, hopefully, you know, with vaccinations up and maybe other COVID cases that have happened that maybe we can be in a good place. And it feels like we're pretty darn close to being able to shed a lot of these restrictions that we've had.
Well, let's hope so. And I hope you have safe travels. We want to thank our sponsors, Rudy Luther Toyota.
Ready for a women-forward car dealership? Rudy Luther Toyota empowers their many women on staff in sales, management, and service. Whether you are looking for a new Toyota or pre-owned vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota has something for everyone. Every vehicle comes with a Luther Advantage. 10 cents off fuel and car wash discounts at holiday stations, Luther Advantage warranty, and 5-day return policy on pre-owned vehicles. Located just 5 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis, off 394 and General Mills Boulevard. And they're also hiring. Want to join the team but don't know where to start? Visit RudyLutherToyota.com today.
We'd also like to thank Lori Ramsey of Successful Marketing Group, a great marketing company, especially if you're a small, middle-sized business.
Hey, Glory here with Successful Marketing Group. As you know, I work with local businesses, and right now, I'd love your help in supporting local Twin Cities restaurants. This month, I'd like to spotlight Day by Day Cafe. They've been a St. Paul institution since 1980. My daughter and I have been going there for almost 20 years. They're family-owned and loved for their scratch kitchen breakfast and magical outdoor patio with koi pond. Oh, and their new wood-fired pizzas are a big hit. Go to my Instagram at SuccessfulBizOwners for more info on them.
And local realtor, Cara Quinn. You can find her at CaraQuinnRealtor.com. I enjoy getting her emails where she lays out, you know, what's going on in the local real estate community. I'm always interested in that, even if I'm not imminently buying. She explains what's going on in the market, why houses have been going so quickly in this market lately. So I would, you can find her anywhere. Pretty much you're looking for a realtor. I would just go to CaraQuinnRealtor.com. You can ask her questions. I highly recommend her, whether you're buying, selling, or just investigating what's going on in the market these days. What do you think? And I know I'm getting ahead of myself here. What do you think your rotation is going to look like when Fee is back? How deep of a bench do you think you'll use?
Well, I got to run a little bit deeper than I did against Phoenix. I think both teams got caught up in the starters playing heavy, heavy minutes, and that's just not a place I know we want to live. I'm pretty sure Phoenix doesn't want to live in. So I think that's, as I told our second team, you know, after the game, it's a lot easier to second guess what we did or didn't do. I know what our concerns were. Griner played 39 minutes. Sill played 34, but much of that was because Natalie was in foul trouble, and I didn't feel confident in who we might have to be able to handle BG. That being said, I don't know that we had anyone to handle BG in this game, so might have been worth a flyer to get some people off the floor. But that being said, we didn't get it done. I think when Fee's back, we'll have a chance to catch our breath after the first three games and look at where we are. What direction do we want to go? And so we're going to kind of, see what Fee's comfortable with and kind of go from there. But I do like our bench. I think we've got some depth and we've just got to use it. And, you know, that's part of the evolution of a team is really starting to, nail down, rotations. And, I wish I could say that we were in a better place than we are right now. It feels kind of, each day something new. In terms of the ride. And so we've got to, we've got to try to find a groove and hopefully this next game against New York tomorrow night, we'll get a little bit closer to that. We'll be a little more mindful. I rely heavily on our staff for that. So I think as we learn more about the players, that'll become more apparent.
I watched the Liberty's opener. Sabrina was really good, but really they look like a really talented team. It goes back to what we always say about this league is there are no bad teams. There's just too much talent. And I'm just wondering, have you had any conversations with Walter? Did you get a chance to watch his team?
I've watched them. They've played two games, both against Indiana, home and then on the road on Sunday. I have not spoken to Walt, but I would imagine that he feels a lot better about the team he is on the floor this year versus the team he had last year. For a first-time head coach, that was kind of cruel, a 2-20 season and just, playing with a bunch of rookies. That it's just hard to do. It's hard to win in this league that way. And considerably better, just adding Sabrina Ionescu to it. They had a nice free agency signings in Betnai Gelaney, who was one of the most improved players in the bubble last year, after getting waived from Indiana and Connecticut before that. So player that's really, really just worked and worked and worked, and she seems at home here. She's a go-to player for them. Sammy Whitcomb, who played for Seattle, made the move from Seattle to New York. And we know about Natasha Howard. She's not available at this time. She's finishing up overseas as well. But she's going to be one heck of an addition, you know, once they get it all together. So considerably better team. And as we told our team, you know, we say this, we've been saying it since day one of training camp, how hard you have to play to win possessions. Because if you don't, the teams are good enough to beat you that possession. And, you know, if we don't bring it, it'll be hard for us to win the game tomorrow night, you know, because every team, like you said, is talented and hungry. I think that's the other thing. You know, we are hungry. We've got a group that wants to do well. So I put us among the hungry teams. But we're going to be here in Barclays playing against a team who, you know, is trying to reverse the fortunes of last season. So they're pretty darn hungry.
Yeah, and I've read a bunch of Walt's interviews, and I watched a couple of his interviews. He sounds pretty enthused about this group. It's gonna be a fun game to watch tomorrow night. We're recording this on Monday. Of course, the next game is as Lynx at Liberty on Tuesday. And of course, if you're listening this deep into the show, I'm sure you are watching the game, so I don't need to recommend them. But I think it's gonna be quite a season. Any idea when Lynx games at Target Center might be allowed to go to something like full capacity?
Yeah, I think the next step, as we heard, you know, I feel, you know, the folks that are behind the scenes are really the amount of time that they're spending on trying to, you know, to manage the protocols as they were. And then now as they're quickly changing, the pace at which they're changing, there's a lot of planning that goes into this. And, you know, I sure appreciate our fans' patience. I know that seating wise, you know, there's places they're accustomed to being that we just can't do or have not been able to do. The first two games, so the Phoenix game and then this upcoming Seattle game. And then after that, you're going to see a change to what capacity, I don't know. But I think we've got it's a fluid process. And I think, you know, again, I so appreciate our fans. It was so fun to be back. And, you know, our players felt the energy. And obviously, we're excited to increase capacity. Because I do think we have a team that people are going to want to watch and want to be there, as you know, the protocols permit. But I think you're going to see more and more. And I, you know, probably realistically, you know, as we expand in terms of capacity, when you get back to maybe post Olympics, so that Olympic hiatus, who knows? Maybe we're back to, you know, not having to worry about physically distancing the seats and having them in pods and that sort of thing. You know, I'm sure that all of us, fans included, you know, cannot wait. But kudos to the behind the scenes folks that are trying to manage all this. And obviously, thanks to our fans for their patience. Just being in the arena meant so much to us. Even if your seat wasn't your most perfect seat, we definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, no question. Did you take any interest in the Hall of Fame inductions? Obviously, Minnesota connection with Kevin Garnett, but there were also some other interesting names.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always interested in that. It's an incredible honor. Hard to do. You know, we've got a Hall of Famer on our staff, and, you know, I just think about, you know, the greatness that Katie Smith was as a player, and that's just such an incredible honor to be recognized that way. And, you know, Tamika Catchings, you know, being an inductee, and, you know, obviously Kim Mulkey, you know, when you read through her bio, though I may not agree, you know, with some other things that she does, I tell you, the success is undeniable. It's really incredible what she's done. So it's just one of those things. You just Hall of Fame night, when you see it and you just read through, you go, holy cow, these people, you know, what incredible careers. So, you know, congratulations to all of them. And then the announcement of the next class, you know, Lauren Jackson and Yolanda Griffith, two of the, you know, WNBA greats. It's just incredible. I think about being a part of this for two decades and, you know, college coaching plus that, you know, three decades. That's a long time and sustained success. And so, you know, when you're in it, you know, kind of year to year, you don't really look up. You just kind of keep moving along. And then all of a sudden, 30 years into it, you look around, you go, man, these people were really, really great at what they did. And so incredible honor. And it was always enjoyable to listen to the things that they have to say and, you know, the stories along the way. And of course, someone as great as KG for the Minnesota Timberwolves organization. It's pretty incredible to have a Hall of Famer.
Did you have many interactions with Kevin? Did you get to know him at all?
I did not. We had I don't remember the years that he was here, but when he was a player, it's a lot harder. Unless he was in town, because he was on the road or something with the team, we might have casual conversations, but not a whole lot of interaction. I do appreciate his, his friendliness towards the players. I know Lindsey Whalen really appreciated him. And, I think in terms of, his allyship for the WNBA, I think he's done real well there.
I saw a comment from you someplace about expansion. It's nothing new. You and I have talked about it before, but I did think you put it very succinctly, which is that I think Derek Fisher was saying, let's be careful here. We can be patient. And your comment was something along the lines of men's sports expand before they have reason to and know that the money eventually will flow. Why not think the same way with women?
Yeah, I mean, hit the nail on the head. And, Derek Fisher is trained in men's sports. He's grown, he's played men's sports, and he's now coaching a women's sport. And that's the danger of having, men coaching women, is that, we can't hold them back. And I think part of, what I'm saying is the mindset, the investment mindset that is absent when it comes to women's sports or the WNBA and its expansion. When we signed the deal with ESPN in 2014, I remember feeling like the league was elated with, you get a TV deal, you feel like you've made it. That was really important. But to sign a 10-year deal that showed no idea that there would be growth in the game, I say this, we're the biggest bargain that ESPN, signing a, TV deal with a sports league. It just, there was no growth in that. And so that was really smart on ESPN's part. I don't think, as far as the powers to be at the WNBA, I don't think that we're seeing ourselves in a big enough light. You have to sort of plant the seeds. You gotta water it, and then it's gonna grow, and then it becomes a field of flowers. Like, you just have to. You have to have that mindset. You have to, kind of lay the foundation for, in sports leagues, 20 to 30 years is what it takes. Mm-hmm. And so, if you constantly have a small-minded look at this, and you're constantly being told that you can't do this because you lost a dollar, that's not what we do in men's sports. And so you're going to have to go through that process of expansion and laying the foundation and growing the business for what you think it will be 20 to 30 years from now, not what you think it's going to be this year or next year for those teams. Men's sports simply don't do that. We throw the money at it and invest in it like crazy and don't care if you make a dollar, because you're thinking about the ability to increase the valuation of it in 20 to 30 years. And that's all I'm saying, is we just haven't done it. We've lost, this is 25 years into the WNBA, and we're still thinking the same way as we did in the beginning. And so I think Kathy Engelbert is going to be the one that's going to push that envelope and say, why would we wait for 12 healthy teams? Why? Tell me what other men's sport does that? It just doesn't happen. Look at the MLS. There are millions and millions and millions. It just doesn't happen. And so we're going to have to encourage people to think about women's sports the same way as men's sports. Otherwise, it's another 25 years and we take these little baby steps. And the product, there's just no real good excuses other than, just a limited vision for what women's professional sports can be.
If only there were a local example of somebody like investing, say, $88 million in a sports franchise, and even without having a lot of on-court success, later being able to sell it for $1.5 billion.
And that's the best example, right, is the NBA. Think about the 60s, the 70s, 80s. Like, how long did this take? But we didn't stop throwing money into it. And, like you said, look at the, from 88 to, what was it, $1.5 billion. That's pretty incredible. So really, really happy for Glenn.
I saw you mention – yeah, I saw you mention on Twitter that there will be a first toy line dedicated to women's sports. I think it's called Sports Bigs, although I'm not really clear on the name of the company. But anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, I just saw it today, too. I knew that Rebecca Brunson, and then also we have another player who's currently involved in having a superhero modeled after her. So just really fun times. I think that you know, as much as, you know, we talk about, you know, the limited vision for women's sports in terms of the league itself and expansion, there have been a number of companies that are really starting to understand the market that's there. There's just so much you can do with professional female athletes. And so now, you know, getting greater representation and, you know, having a toy line after, you know, inspired by women's sports, it's just really cool. It's really important. You know, when you think about young girls and boys growing up, and now when you go to a store and you could actually buy, you know, female athlete toys. So it's, you know, these are all just massive steps. You know, this is not small, this is massive. And yeah, so I'm just really happy. I talked to Rebecca Brunson about it, you know, back when it was first, you know, sort of coming to fruition, and now it's being launched. So really exciting, really fun for her, obviously. And then just for all of women's sports, really incredible and meaningful.
Let's give Cheryl a final thought here to talk about whatever she would like. Once again, thank you to Rudy Luther Toyota, Successful Marketing Group, and local realtor Cara Quinn. Thanks to everyone who's listening to Talk North as we continue to expand. We appreciate it, and we'll keep rolling these shows out for you. Final thoughts, Cheryl, anything you like?
Yeah, as I sit here and look at the Brooklyn Bridge, you know, my final thought is we got to go win this game tomorrow night. And here, and like I said, it's not going to be easy. There's talent on both sides, but you know, we have to play well and advance and be better than the last game we played or even the last practice that we were at. So, you know, that's our mission, is each day we're together is to get better. And so I think they're probably excited to, you know, play a game tomorrow night and see where we are after, you know, our Phoenix experience and then a couple of days of practice.
All right. Well, safe travels. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you soon.